Welcome back to the Helpful Gardeners podcast. How's it growing? This week, we're wrapping up 2023 with a look back at all our favorite moments, guests, and fun that we had talking about gardening. Colin and I cannot believe we're coming up on a year of growing our passion project. We started this project as a couple of friends who work for a local garden center in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and our sole aim was to make gardening accessible and fun for everyone. Colin is an experienced horticulturist who's gardened in all sorts of spaces and climactic zones. I'm more novice with a small space garden, but I've been soaking in all of this year of learning. We've explored seed starting, garden critters, weather, houseplant maintenance, avoiding garden burnout, and even some spicy topics like World Naked Gardening Day. So let's look back on our top 10 favorite episodes this year on the Helpful Gardeners podcast. Prepping your garden for spring. Well, while we still have a beautiful winter season ahead, I can't help but plan ahead towards a beautiful spring. And this was a great episode to have in your toolkit as it covers things to do in your garden once the snow melts, even before planting a single plant.
So when I amend my beds, unless I'm, again, turning the whole thing, digging out weeds, putting in a new bed. If I have a bed, I know it's clean because I maintained it all last year. I want to say 90% of my amending with a cultivator. Mm-hmm. And I just literally turn the soil and blend it in and my plants thrive.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't need to be killing yourself. And right now, you absolutely can add amendments, or you can wait until planting day or the week before planting day. But right now, it's not a bad idea to get out there and get the debris off your beds. Let that sunlight get directly onto the soil. And if it's not frozen, if it's not hard, just go gently with a cultivator, a garden hoe, a garden fork, a rake, and just break that surface tension so the moisture can start getting into the soil when it rains or snows or whatever we're going to get in Calgary, both in the same day.
Behind the poppy. The poppy is such an important symbol of remembrance here in Canada, and it was really cool to explore more about this flower. But let's kind of go into the significance of the poppy a little bit, because as probably most of our listeners know, the poppy was a native plant growing along the Western Front during World War I, and it really gained popularity from the Canadian poet and soldier John McCrae, who wrote In Flanders Fields in 1915.
He was, sorry to cut you off, Obviously, I know that poem. I've heard it my whole life. He was Canadian.
He was Canadian. Wait, so you learned about that in England?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
we knew. No way.
Yeah, we knew Flanders Fields. I'm willing to bet when I was a little lad, they taught me it was by a Canadian.
Yeah.
I didn't remember that part.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool.
How have I never heard that tidbit or anything? And okay, sorry. I mean,
going through my childhood, it was always very like, yes, this is a Canadian.
Well, yeah, it's a thing to be proud of.
Yeah, it's absolutely, absolutely. So then about 5 years later, the Great War Veterans Association adopted the poppy as a symbol of remembrance. And then from there, the Canadian Legion adopted it. In 1931, the federal government decreed Remembrance Day on November 11th. And then 1948, the people of Canada then declared the poppy insignia as a protected mark through an act of parliament. So it's a protected symbol in Canada. Fertilizer, how to buy it, use it, and store it. Well, this was one of the most important episodes for us to do this year because it's one of the most frequently asked questions at the garden center. Folks recognize the benefits of fertilizer, especially in climates with a shorter growing season, but there's so many kinds. So in this episode, Colin lays out a nice roadmap to follow.
Food for a plant is light. And that's essentially it. But the fertilizer, it's the supplemental. It keeps your plants healthy. So the light is the three meals a day, the meat and potatoes, if you will. The soil is the, whatever, five servings of fruits and veggies, like what you need to keep yourself healthy. And then the fertilizer are the supplements. And that's where, life gets busy, life gets hectic. We can't always keep up with what we're meant to. So maybe we take iron or B12 or we take calcium. And that ensures that, we might have enough calcium in our diet, but it ensures we're hitting that number for, bone structure and whatnot. So that's where fertilizer comes in. What I like to say is don't get hung up on the numbers. Okay, let's talk about that. The numbers are very simply NPK. And they're the three macronutrients that every plant needs in varying degrees, which is why numbers are different. And it's nitrogen, that's your first one, and that's above ground leafy green. Any of your foliage. So you'll see tree fertilizers and lawn fertilizers will have normally the first number will be the highest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you look at that, you go, oh, okay, that makes sense because all a lawn is and all a tree primarily is an above ground leafy green. Now, then you get into trees and you go, well, what about my apple tree or my hawthorn tree? So you have different facets to it. The second number is the phosphorus, and that's for roots. And then the last number is potassium, and that just kind of keeps the overall plant healthy, makes sure everything is working the way it's meant to, and it's the general health of the plant.
Houseplant maintenance. Going way back to one of our first episodes all about houseplants, lots of good nuggets in here like repotting, soil, fertilizer, watering, and more.
If you have a plant that isn't flowering, that should be flowering, a fertilizer could help. It could be a nutrient deficiency, but first thing I would check out is how much light it's getting. And if it's getting all of the correct light, then I'd say, okay, we need to look at fertilizer and soil. Like, when was the last time the soil was amended? Is the soil completely depleted and now it's just kind of permanently dormant and stagnant and just kind of being like, I'm alive, but I'm not really doing anything? Because here's another thing. You can transplant and put the plant back into the same pot. You can transplant to freshen the soil. Mm-hmm. Because I've had plants that have grown nice and slow. They're not root bound, but I know the soil is depleted. I haven't moved them in 2 years. I've taken them out, put in fresh soil, worm castings, put them back in. Hey presto, they do amazing.
Yeah.
And then the next time I transplant them, they do need a bigger pot. Plants outside, they've got worms in the ground. They've got all the insects running over them and pooping, and all of it, they've got all of the light. And another thing, rainwater, it's not even comparable how good rainwater is compared to tap water.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, you know what? This week it was World Watering Day.
Oh.
And they were talking about water conservation. Mm-hmm. And remember Catherine who worked here?
Yeah.
Okay. Catherine would gather the rainwater and she would use that to water her houseplants.
That's such a smart idea. Yep. I've never thought about catching rainwater for inside.
And she would, at the end of the year, with all the rain, before she put her rain barrel away, she would gather as much as she could and put it in bottles and put it downstairs. And then she would fill her watering cans up. You're not getting the hard minerals and salts that we get in our water. It's charged from being in the air. I don't know if you've ever noticed, it's actually now scientifically proven. I'm not talking the hailstorms that come with it in Calgary, but when you get a thunderstorm and that rain comes down and the plants after that, they seem supercharged.
Yeah.
They actually are. The rainwater, when it hits, is actually charged with nitrogen. So you're actually getting a fertilized charge in your water that your plant is absorbing.
No way.
Meanwhile, we're using water that's filled with minerals. It's a hard water that's coming out of a, you know, water tank.
Yeah.
And that's what we're feeding our plants.
Yeah.
It's more than fine. It's hot. You got to use a hose pipe. You got to use your watering can. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying you want to go next level, use that rainwater.
Enjoying your garden and avoiding burnout. We know there are so many health benefits associated with gardening, but I think we could talk about garden burnout just a little bit more. Sometimes we take on a lot during the gardening season, and this is an episode that goes into how to enjoy your garden in a sustainable way.
Well, certain activities in gardening, like weeding, turning beds, tying up tomato plants, they have done studies and they find that like the brain waves and the body rhythms are very similar to meditation or yoga.
No way.
Yeah, because you're doing a gentle repetitive motion.
Oh, yeah.
And you think, so it can actually soothe you. It can actually help bring you down. And yeah, I know. And that's the thing. I know it can seem like a chore, but anything can. You don't have to walk out and look at your entire garden and be like, oh, I have to weed the whole thing. You can be like, you know what? I want to clean up that one bed today, and that's all I'm going to do.
Yeah, some people take that sort of, 15 minutes every night as that form of meditation.
A couple of years ago, our friends Peter and Bree came over.
Yeah.
We're in the backyard, and they brought their dog, and Frisky is playing with Jimmy, and they're wrestling, and we're just sitting around talking. And Bree went over to look at my tomatoes and we're talking about it. And as we're talking, Bree just knelt down and started weeding. And there was some grass growing in the bed. I keep them relatively clean, but I hadn't got to them. And Bree just started weeding as we were talking. And I'm like, yep, I don't care. We'll go ahead, weed my beds.
Oh, you've given me ideas.
Yeah. You're like, must invite Bree over more.
Planting amaryllis and bringing fictional plants to life. This was a highly streamed episode as we unwrapped everything about the holiday favorite amaryllis, including the hashtag amaryllis challenge, which I failed. But Colin got me a flowering one for Christmas, made me feel a whole bunch better. I really loved our hypothetical question of the week that episode. It was all about bringing fictional plants to life, and it just got us all creative, and we got a chance to think about some of our childhood plants that we would love to see in real life.
But I'm also thinking, what about like the mushroom or the fire flower from Super Mario Brothers?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. So you're like, oh, I'm really tired. You eat a mushroom. You're like, boop, 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 boop. And then you're super big. You're like, do, 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 do. Or you're going somewhere and you're like, yeah, you know what? I could throw fireballs out of my hands. I don't really know where that's needed, but.
You know, I instantly went to Harry Potter.
Oh,
okay, but because you haven't seen Harry Potter, have you?
I know some of it. I've never actually watched a movie beginning to end or read a book.
Okay, you've heard about the mandrake though, right?
Oh, that's yes.
That's like the screaming plant. I don't know why we would ever need that. Maybe that's a plant that we would never want to become real because you take it out of the ground and it just like this high pitched yeah. scream. I mean, there's medical properties that would be pretty helpful. But
to get the medical problems, you have to cut up the plant that's already screaming.
No, what's the point, right?
What about, I actually thought you were going to pick the willow basher.
Like the whomping willow.
The whomping willow.
Yeah, there's that too. Or gillyweed.
I don't know what gillyweed
is. So gillyweed was in the fourth Harry Potter film and he ate it and he got gills for like a certain amount of time. And so like, so he completed this challenge and he could swim. He got like webbed feet and everything and gills and he could breathe.
And so it turns you into Aquaman.
Yes, it does turn you into Aquaman. Oh my God. Well, the autumn miniseries was a hit. We went into various topics like perennials, lawn care, specifically the fall cleanup episode. It really dived into your autumn to-do list and just talked about those chores that you may have forgotten about.
So you're using your tool in the spring and it gets damaged and you go, I'm too busy, and you keep using it. And if it's a wood handle one, especially, maybe it got a little old or it cracked, but you got through the summer and you put it away. Well, over the winter, it's going to dry out even more. And next spring, it's going to be ruined. Mm-hmm. So check them out. Make sure they're not broken. And then what I always like to do, I don't always do it because, again, timing. When I was landscaping, we'd close down all the gardens. We'd put everything away and we'd be like, okay, bulbs are planted. All of the clients are done. We have not one job left. And every single tool would come out. We'd do an inventory. We'd check them out, check the handles because everybody's been using different ones. If something was loose, can it be repaired or is it garbage? Then we would set up grinders. We would sharpen them all. We'd have wire brushes, take all of the soil and the rust off. Then we would have a massive, like Costco size, jug of vegetable oil and paint them all in vegetable oil.
Something you have already around the house.
Yeah, and that's it. And what you're doing is you're keeping them sharp and you're preventing any rust or dust or anything getting on them. And because it's vegetable oil in the spring, you start digging, you don't have to worry about it.
The Halloween special. Our first and only appearance on camera happened during our Halloween special. Colin and I dressed as garden gnomes, ate snacks, told a scary story, and talked about the spooky toxic garden located in the UK. We actually asked ChatGPT to make us a little spooky story, and this was the result. On a moonlit Halloween night, two friends, Brandy and Colin, found themselves in a peculiar predicament. They had decided to dress as garden gnomes for the evening festivities. complete with pointy hats and white beards.
I'm starting to see where you put some of the prompts in.
Well, we took off the beards, but it still makes sense. They were hosting the spookiest Halloween garden party ever. The garden was adorned with eerie decorations from tombstone markers with humorous plant-related epitaphs like, "Here lies Basil, seasoned to death." To ghostly topiaries that seemed to move and whisper in the wind. But the highlight of the evening was a sinister-looking pumpkin they called the Gourd of Doom, with a terrifying face carved into it. They had a weed-whacking contest where guests took turns hacking at monstrous-sized weeds with oversized garden shears. Oh, wait. Colin's monster mower was a hit. And Brandy's witchy weed whacker earned her the title of garden ghoul. As the witching hour approached, the atmosphere grew spookier and strange rustling noises echoed from the adjacent forest. Canadian symbols. Colin's favorite episode was our Canada Day special because we explored all sorts of Canadian symbols in the garden and out of it. I think at one point we started talking about license plates and horses. It was fun and a huge highlight of the year. So enjoy this one.
But I'm glad somebody included the larch, and I'm surprised to see an oak, but when you think about it, you know, Prince Edward Island, obviously very still. I mean, then the name attaches them, you know, to the Commonwealth, to the UK, and the UK tree is the oak.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense that they picked that. But I honestly think this was one of the most fun podcasts I've done for looking stuff up because, you know, yeah. Did you know that? So I know nothing about horses. Okay, that's a, you shake your head at me.
Okay, so we've talked about sports teams, animals, horses. Yeah. Go on.
Horses. So I know nothing about horses. There's a Canadian horse. Its name is the Canadian horse. Okay. That's the breed. And it's Canada's official horse.
We do not have an official horse.
Absolutely, we do. I just learned this fact. And tell me if this doesn't give a great summation of Canadians. It is famed for its strength, its endurance, its intelligence, and its good temper.
Oh, that's all good things.
It's like, okay, yeah. But yeah, there's a Canadian horse.
Wow. Seed starting. Is it for you? Because sometimes we have to be strategic in our gardening endeavors based on our lifestyle and space. So it was a great way to explore what's involved in seed starting and what your options might be. If you have a small space garden like me, you might want to consider doing more direct sow or buying already grown plants at the garden center. If you have a bit more space, you might want to do more seed starting.
You go to a garden center, even one like Golden Acres, and it's big and we have a ton of variety, but you're not going to find the really fun ones. You're not going to find those chocolate tomatoes and the ebony tomatoes and the orange and the pumpkin tomatoes and all of those different varieties. And I'm just talking about tomatoes. Start getting into cucumbers and pumpkins and every flowers. You're not going to find the variety in pre-grown plants that you're going to find in seed.
Or the grocery store for that matter.
Yeah, even less that.
Yeah.
Even you go to the grocery store and it's like cherry, Roma, beefsteak.
Yeah.
You know, there's three, maybe you go to a better grocery store than I do and there's six. But you're not going to get that. So look at what's important to you.
When you're talking about hot peppers, I mean, just looking at all of the varieties of hot peppers that there are out there, I mean, you could only grow peppers.
Yep. And peppers are one that really do need to be started indoors. They need the heat mat. They need the care. So if you have a love of peppers, you're probably not going to find ghost peppers and Carolina Reapers and whatnot at every grocery store. So if peppers, although you're like, oh, I don't care. Cucumber is a cucumber. I like cucumber. Buy them pre-grown. But you're like, no, my peppers, I really want specific ones. Just do them from seed.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be all or none. You don't have to be like, well, I've got to grow it all from seed or none of it from seed.
Well, as Colin says, gardening isn't one size fits all. There's always going to be new ways of doing things, and that's why we were so lucky to have many of our friends pop by for a visit to the podcast this year. Our first guest calls Vancouver, British Columbia home and works with one of the biggest names in the gardening industry, Scotts Canada. Shelley Vance popped by for our sodcast and shared lots of gardening wisdom to keep our lawns looking their brightest.
What I do is then I get a little bag of seed starting soil or soil, all-purpose soil, lawn soil, whatever your preference is, and I put it in the patch. So say, for example, say maybe even like a 10 by 10. So I'll put a top dressing of soil on there. Sometimes I might mix it with a sea compost or something like that, or sometimes I'll just put the soil down. And you're going to laugh at me. And so sometimes to make it flat, what I'll do is I'll take a rolling pin and I'll actually roll it to make it a little bit flatter. And then what I do is I sprinkle a generous amount of grass seed on that particular patch. Unfortunately, you have to allot for the birds, the crows, the raccoons, whatever might also want to be interested in that grass seed other than just the grass seed growing. And then I sprinkle a little bit of soil on top of the grass seed to try and deter the birds and stuff, although the birds are still going to try and get the grass seed. And then what I do is I water usually in the morning a little bit, like mist, not soak, to wash the grass seed away. And then I also water a little bit at night. The temperature also has to be, before you start this patching, I am recommending the day temperature to be around 14. Grass seed, it won't germinate if it's too cold, and if it's too hot and you're not watering it, it won't germinate. So watering and temperature and the prep is really important. And the reason with homeowners that I say start small, because if they can get the success for a small patch, it's just, it makes you just feel so good seeing this patch. So better than doing your whole lawn and not being successful. For the first time, I always think people should take it and just try a little bit. And if they're successful, go from there.
Well, we had so much fun with our dear friend Jean-Mathieu Daoud of Let It Grow Horticulture right here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Not only is he a tree climbing competitor, but is also extremely passionate about trees and shrubs. In this episode, he shared his recommendations on selecting trees and shrubs, caring for new and established trees, pruning, and also what to do if your tree and shrub runs into a problem with pests and disease.
You've got a number of different options. I know here at the store, we've got a number of different products that control the vast majority of insect and pest issues that you would have to deal with on your trees. The one limiting factor there is the size of the tree or shrub that you're treating. You might be limited based on the equipment that you have available. And in that case, then you also have the option of hiring a commercial applicator. You know, it's okay to use pesticides, but it shouldn't be your only go-to solution. There's so many other things that you can do culturally or by releasing predatory insects to help fight off those critters and bugs or pests that are affecting your trees and shrubs.
In honor of World Pollinator Week, we sat down with the down-to-earth Elise Watson of ABC Bees. Elise is an educator and community leader for beekeepers all across North America. Check out the full episode for information on how to attend her field days in 2024, and I hope you enjoy this clip on how to select bee-friendly flowers for your garden.
It's funny to think that bees actually don't see the color red and orange. So when you're selecting a plant in particular, look for white, look for yellow, and look for purple. And you'll know that just observing your plants. You know, if you have a catnip plant that's flowering lavender, you know, a lot of these bolting plants, whether they're brassicas and herbs, you'll see they're white, yellow, or purple plants. The other thing I always like to look for is avoiding kind of compound flowers and looking for, I always tell my kids, if you can stuff your nose into the middle of the flower, then a bee can stuff their face into the flower too. So even if they're tiny flowers, if you can see the middle of the flower, see the little where the nectaries are going to be sitting, the bee can see them too and gather there. So for me, it's really observing the environment from potentially a completely different perspective, especially when we think about color selection for plants.
Gardening is beneficial for our health and community. That's why we were so excited to be joined by our good friend and neighbor, Erin Neal, Senior Coordinator at the Calgary Drop-In Center. She came on the podcast to talk more about the community garden she helped create for the residents in the affordable housing program.
A lot of individuals who were exiting homelessness and, you know, I had no idea this connection would be formed between myself and these residents, right? Like, it was not even something I really thought about, gardening, like who would be those gardeners, right? So it was really surprising to see and exciting for me to see who they are and like how that's grown as well. We have a lot of, like, I've noticed the moods changing, right? Like, you can see how people relax and they come out. And so it's definitely a way to just focus and connect with nature that's been just a pleasure for all of us.
Well, to all our guests who stopped by this year, thank you. We loved hanging out with you and hearing your perspective on the gardening world. It's so appreciated, and we hope to learn more from you next year. And that brings us to you, our listener. Thank you. Thank you for supporting this podcast and for making the world a more planty place. We hope you learned something new and laughed with us along the way.
Welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games. Jungle is Colin's office.
His and hers gardener duckies?
Cara Boydia.
This week, Colin throws his dog, himself, and dictionaries under the bus.
This segment of throwing shade.
Thriller. Didn't we sing last week?
I was going to say.
Okay, Ben Spiller.
I was waiting for that.
Tell me why. Do.
Canada.
So many plants to enjoy.
And it says, try me if you dare. I'm sour. Oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum. Bananament. It doesn't. I have worms.
Oh, my God, you're going to make.
This is going to sound silly. Start some seeds a month ago. Heavily recommended by Colin, the Not Caterpillar podcast host. I am heavily caffeinated.
Great, now I got out of
my... You look pina colada. Oh, man, your poinsettia is fleek.
No, remember? No, nobody says
remember.
That anymore.
I don't remember. Nobody says that anymore. You're like, this week, Anthony Hopkins. Oh, next week, tune in for Anthony Starr.
Coming up, we're going to get into some garden intentions. We're going to try to keep a poinsettia alive and maybe even hit the road to visit a garden or two. A big shout out to Golden Acre Home and Garden for supporting the Helpful Gardeners podcast. If you're in the area, come say hi. Happy New Year, and we'll catch you next week on the Helpful Gardeners podcast.